This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, I love Chuck.
Yeah, it's hysterical. Hard to play there, you know, that thin air. We are delighted to welcome in the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, doing a remarkable job. Billy Donovan joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, coach. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I got to tell you, we are really having fun watching your team and the way that you play. The way that, I heard Malone saying after the game, I heard him say it before the game, that you guys are maybe the best running team in the NBA. And that is a real compliment for a guy that plays out west and tries to run people off the court sometimes when he can with that thin air.
Well, Mike and I go back a long way. We actually grew up in the same neighborhood, knew his father really well, and we've had a very, very close relationship and, you know, appreciate the kind words. But, you know, I think one of the things that we said, you know, to start the season was we had to play that way. And we talked about it, you know, in the training camp media day. I think I made the comment, if we don't run, we're done, you know, and I think the guys deserve a lot of credit. You know, we totally changed stylistically the way we were kind of playing in the past because I think our personnel changed. So guys did a great job coming back in shape. I thought the 3 weeks leading up to the start of training camp, you know, everybody came in. We really started to try to play that way when these guys played a lot of pickup ball. We played with a 14-second shot clock for most of the preseason. I think that kind of set a foundation for us. And then, you know, we've been able to stay consistent with it, and the guys have really done a good job of trying to night in and night out play to that identity.
You know, Billy, I think that it's obvious to see the evidence of your coaching on the way your team has played, whether it's the last 10 games or really since the Zach LaVine trade, but I think it's there. And we have kidded about, well, you know what, even despite your record, you could be a candidate for the coach of the year. And I know you're not going to acknowledge that, and I know that you're not going to be in on that conversation, but I do wonder if you take a step back, how would you describe, you changed the style, you changed the approach, you changed the pace. So how would you describe the overall impact that you've had as a coach on this team compared to previous seasons in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I think every season is always a little bit different, you know, and there's certainly, since I've been here, you know, a lot of change, quite honestly. And I know the Lonzo Ball injury, you know, in my second year, you know, that kind of altered things. And I know that we kind of, played for a period of time, you know, without a point guard. I thought Io came in as a rookie when we lost Caruso and we lost Lonzo and really did a remarkable job. But, you know, I look at the way the teams have changed and the way we flowed. And, you know, I think when you come in at this level, you know, whatever, you're certainly going to have philosophical beliefs in terms of the way the game's played. But you are, in a lot of ways, I think, responsible to try to play in a way that really magnifies, puts guys in position to do what they do well. I love DeMar DeRozan. You know, he was one of the best closers that I've ever had a chance to coach. You know, I think Zach LaVine has been one of the most gifted scorers I've ever had a chance to coach. Vooch is a very, very smart player. And, you know, I think earlier on, you know, we tried to play to those guys' strengths in a lot of ways. And then with some of our point guard situation being in flux, you know, I didn't think that the best thing for our team was to kind of play that way. So, you know, Zach's always been a great transition player. He's always been up there as one of the league leaders scoring in transition. He's tremendous in that area. And I give the guys a lot of credit because when you start this journey going into the season, it starts well before training camp. You know, you go out, you meet with players, guys get together, and you start to talk about the season, the identity, and how we need to play. And I give the guys a lot of credit. They were all bought in and believed that this is what we had to do to be successful and how we needed to play. So I think from that standpoint, I always say at this level, there's voluntary cooperation. Everybody's got to work together. And this has been a great group to work with. I enjoyed working with all the groups here in Chicago. All the guys I've had a chance to work with have been great guys. And I feel like I've really, really tried to do the best job that they can to play in a way that we needed to play.
I don't want to just sit here and keep complimenting you, but I think one of the most remarkable aspects about watching this season has been sort of with three players in particular that are playing so differently now than they did earlier in the year. And you know, obviously Kobe has emerged. He's playing now like he's an all-star player. I don't know if there's another level for him, and there could be, but he's playing like he belongs in an all-star game. Josh Giddey is playing a complete and all-around game as well as anybody, and I'm not sure we were seeing that before. And then Matas is another example of a guy who you didn't give a ton of minutes to, who you kind of made earn his minutes. He wasn't involved late in games, and you've created this confidence in all three of those players that has changed the way that they're playing the game. And I think it's by holding them accountable and by, you know, kind of especially maybe with Giddey and Matas, and then helping Kobe become the player he is. I feel there's a confidence to this group that was not there earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit is that's accurate. You know, one of the things that, you know, when I first came here and Larry Marketing was here and Wendell Carter was here and Kobe was here, you know, I think when those guys are high draft picks, there's this perception or feeling that these guys are going to be the future. And what ends up happening is these guys get put into leadership roles and responsibilities that they are not equipped or capable of handling at their age. And, you know, I had this conversation with Kobe in the summer, and he, every year I've been with him, I feel like every year has taken a step. And it's really a great credit to him that whatever is thrown at him, he always looks at internally of how he can be better. He's never been an excuse maker or point fingers or cast blame. And his role has changed quite a bit for us. But I had this conversation with Kobe. I had it with Io, and I had it with Patrick Williams, just because these guys were going into their fourth, fifth, sixth years as NBA players. And I said, there comes a point in time in all your guys' career, you know, as starters, that the leadership responsibility falls on your shoulders. And you guys are in a position right now that you have enough experience what you're going to be judged and evaluated on is how well can you lead. It's not only about your own individual performance, but it's how well can you lead through your experiences. And I think you probably last year started to see Kobe's voice emerge. You started to see Io's voice emerge. And I think even Patrick Williams, you know, tried to do that. All three of them have been great team guys. All three of those guys really, really want to win. And I think that they've got a really good understanding that it takes everybody. And it takes chemistry. And it takes cohesiveness. And it takes everybody being on the same page. And not only has Kobe played at an incredible level, a lot of people don't get a chance to see and hear what goes on inside the locker room, huddles, and practice. He has been a phenomenal leader. And I think one of the most powerful things that ends up happening, you know, during the course of the season is belief. I thought DeMar last year, quite honestly, when we had a lot of injuries and we lost players like Zach and Patrick for the rest of the season, DeMar was a guy that gave the group great belief that we could win. And I think Kobe's done the same thing. I think some of these players learn things from different players, but those guys have done a remarkable job leading. You know, as it relates to Modest, I think one of the things that has happened for him, when you've got a player, and he's really talented, and I think everybody can see the talent level, but sometimes he doesn't, early on, didn't understand how hard he needed to compete and play on a nightly basis. And he just, a lot of times, was able to ramp up his talent, and that was good enough as a younger player. Well, the talent level's evened out right now. And the biggest thing I've told him is the three things he needs to be accountable to, you know, every day is toughness, intensity, and his energy. If he does that, his talent, you know, will come out. If he doesn't play like that, you start to see a lack of strength, a lack of experience, you know, and a lack of sometimes understanding of who he's guarding, personnel, and those kind of things. So he's done a good job of, when you do hold him accountable, when you do get on him, he doesn't pout. He takes it. He tries to get better from it. And as a young player, I give Miles a lot of credit. I've been around a lot of young players. When there's any level of criticism or there's any level of, you know, taking a guy out of the game, there can be pouting, there can be not understanding. Modest uses mistakes and adversity as a way to try to get better. And this was one of the things I had talked about earlier in the year with him, this idea of player development and develop him, and they think, just throw the guy out there and let him play. That's how you develop. The best part about us right now is, for Modest, is we're in meaningful games, you know, in terms of trying to play after the end of the regular season. So instead of just going into the rest of the season with nothing on the line, we'll just give him minutes. That doesn't work. He needs to, you know, he hit a little bit of the rookie wall. He needed to figure out how to get through that. You know, he's gone through different things that he's needed to learn about how to improve. And I do think from a player development standpoint, yes, between the lines is important. But there's a lot of other things that impact what goes on in between the lines besides just playing time. And I give Modest a lot of credit that he's totally embraced that and has taken that on. I think as it relates to Josh Giddey, you know, Josh, I think coming in with leaving Australia, coming to the United States, playing in Oklahoma City, coming here, there was a lot of uncertainty, and he needed some period of time to adjust to the players he was playing with. And we've gone through a lot of injuries this year as well. But Josh, I think, has gotten into a situation where he really understands things that he needs to do to impact our group and help our team.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we've all been impressed by how you've been able to keep the focus on the main thing every night and not get caught up in all the noise surrounding what this season represents to the Bulls. And I just wonder, in that context, Billy, with 10 games to go, after having a really successful 10-game stretch, 8-2 in that span, you kind of have changed things with the way that you've incorporated Herter, and Trey Jones was great before the injury, and Zach Collins has been a revelation. How has that changed or reset your goals for this season? Has it, if you in fact have played well enough to now kind of look at this season in a different way?
Yeah, there's no question. Those three guys coming in here helped our team immensely. Zach Collins has brought in a lot of physical toughness and size, rim protection. He's very, very good in pick and roll coverage. Herter is a really, really high IQ player. I really have always liked him as a player, even when he was in Atlanta and at Sacramento. He's got a really good feel how to play. He's more than just a catch and shoot guy. He can make plays and knows how to cut and read. He's very smart. And Trey Jones, I think I've been pretty outspoken about him. He just, there's a lot of things and intangible things he brings to the table. So I think with the way we were playing stylistically, those three guys fit in very, very well to how we were playing. And I think going forward, you know, the one thing, and I know a lot of people have a lot of different opinions of what we should or shouldn't do, you know, as it relates to the draft, free agency, I get that. But there's something really, really powerful in players that are younger. At some point in their career, they've got to impact winning. And even though, you know, where we're at right now as a team, you know, we're in the play-in, but we're still kind of at the bottom, you know, of the Eastern Conference. But the reality is we have a chance to play meaningful games, and that's going to help Modest. It's not just like, hey, the regular season's over with, we're not playing for anything, let's just roll him out there for 35 minutes and just see what the guy can do. And now what happens is the focus gets taken off the result of winning. Now, I think the results of winning are a byproduct of the things that you do for 48 minutes. And you've got to understand every possession's important. Paying attention to scouting reports are important. You know, the game plan discipline is important. So I think the one thing we've tried to do all season long is to make the point that all these games are important. And let's see what this group can do if we're fortunate enough after April 13th to be in a situation that we're playing after the regular season's over with. Those things are meaningful. That really, really plays a major factor, I think, in player development. And it also puts these guys in situations that they haven't been in before. And I think when you take the focus off of winning, you miss, I think, a big point of what's going to happen in the future. At some point, these guys are going to be put into a situation where now the winning becomes important. You want to make a run. And if they don't play in these meaningful games, I think it hurts their development. So what we've tried to do as a team, to your point of whatever the perception is of what or how the season should go, we in the locker room have kept it on, let's see how good we can be as a team. Let's go all in to become as good as we can be. And then whenever the season's finished up, hopefully it's something we can build upon going into the next season.
Great stuff, Billy. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on with us. And you're a really fun team to watch.
Yeah.
It's been
loads of
fun.
It really is enjoyable.
I really have enjoyed these guys. I appreciate the way they've worked and the way they've tried to play and sacrifice for one another. And you know, we'll see how these next 10 games go, you know, come off a road trip, you know, playing tomorrow against the Lakers and then Dallas and back on the road again. So, you know, we've still got a lot of challenges in front of us, but hopefully we can continue to evolve and grow as a team.
Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Billy Donovan.